Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Back in time for a Not a Thing podcast. No more April Fools this week. Thank you
no,
all
these
for
are all real stories.
Thanks all for participating in last week's fun. And it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
No more fun. The fun's over. Back to the podcast. Deal with it. I'm totally kidding. It's still going to be fun. Keep listening.
Yeah, it is. It is still fun. it's great to keep finding stuff every week, and there's always stuff every week.
Yeah, we do have to, whittle the list down.
Yeah, so many things that are not things. It's still kind of fun to pull that together, and if you're looking to participate in anyway, you can send us something that you are interested in or something that is really weird. Or if you'd like to be on the podcast, just let us know. We like that, for the most part.
Guests are a thing.
Cool. Well, let's hop right in and, let's not do what the LAPD is apparently doing, which is tampering with their recording equipment. There's, I guess, a story out of LA where there was an investigation because there was some kind of problem with the live feeds that they use to monitor and kind of do postmortems on, like, situations involving cops. So there's been this monitoring thing that's been kicked on in the LAPD where if you turn on your sirens or you leave your car, it does some amount of recording kind of automatically. There's a like voice recorder that's that the cops wear on their belts. There's a camera that's on the dash and all that kind of stuff. And there was some incident where they were reviewing the footage and they noticed that there were these weird disparities where some of the footage would be really bad and some of the footage was really good. And when they went to inspect what was going on, it turned out that, they were missing the wireless antennas. There were, otherwise tampering with the recording equipment. And so there was a full-on investigation launched, and something like 50% of the cop cars that they checked were essentially tampered with, and it was deliberate. It's not like they were malfunctioning or whatever. They were sabotaged. That's kind of bad.
Well, the crazy thing is the reason that stuff was there was because the Department of Justice had been monitoring the LAPD for like over a decade for negligence, and this is exactly the reason they had this monitoring system, and then they lifted that like a year ago, or in the last year, so that does not seem to have worked.
Yeah, the places or the cars that are associated with the most tampering were the ones that were also associated with the areas where there were the most the most reports of like police abuse of power and brutality and whatnot. It's a bad correlation to have. I mean, statistics aside, there's that whole correlation causation kind of stuff. When you have a correlation like that, that just plays really badly. So, the thing that I read was that, I guess because multiple shifts take the same car in and out, and they don't necessarily inspect them every shift change, there's no way to tell for sure, who was tampering with the antennas or whatever. So they're kind of writing off who did it, but they're adding new measures that they are going to be having stuff inspected kind of more often, and that'll supposedly make it a little better. I think the thing to kind of take away from this is How to put this delicately?
Fuck the police. LAPD is not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Who watches the watchers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of situations. You know, just be cool to people and try to, you know, not be pulled over by cops, I guess.
Don't be such a cop. Not that all cops are bad.
No, but it really doesn't help when
no, it doesn't.
Stories like this come out. So any cops or, you know, relatives of cops, you know, we're with you in spirit, but gotta clean it up sometimes, I think. It'd be a good thing. Yeah. Let's see. What? I don't know how to move away from that. That's not a good transition at all. It's such a downer. It's such a bummer that, you know, to think that, A, we have to kind of record cops in order to keep them honest, and then, you know, that it seems like that's being subverted. So there's almost an angle of they were intruding on kind of privacy. Like, I guess the way the recording systems worked is that it would record you if you were up to like three blocks away from your car. So they could have a record, you know, a voice record of what was going on. And I don't know if those things are running kind of 24/7 or what, but I mean, I could see how that would be annoying. But yeah, at the same time,
the whole reason they're there is because of abuse of power.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there should be, it just shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be that way. There should be, it should be above reproach. That's the next David Ayer movie, right?
Above reproach. It takes place in a small town where there's lots of nice cops and nothing really happens.
It's not like all of his movies have kind of corrupt police in them, but...
Well, for every corrupt cop movie, you see 10 stories on the internet or in the news about corrupt cops or cops doing, you know, horrible things. So I don't know if it's that unjustified.
Yeah. Well, you know, be nice out there.
Protect and serve. That's your job.
Mm-hmm. Or just be kind of really freaky for over 500 days. At the edge of space.
What do you think you are? Some kind of U.S. Air Force spaceship?
So I don't even know, honestly, why they released this news, but there was a report this week about a space plane that the Air Force has apparently had in the air for almost 500 days now. It's like 490-something, and the previous record for it was... like 280 days or something. And it's an unmanned plane. I don't exactly know how it does it propulsion wise. I guess they launch it via a rocket and then it kind of disengages from the rocket and then it sort of glides. I guess it's high enough in the atmosphere or just above the atmosphere that it doesn't deal with drag that much. So it's essentially orbiting. And it's been up for over 490 days or something like that, and they're not telling what it is. I'm like, why did you even say it was there? I mean, thank you for telling us it's there, because now we know that the Air Force has this really creepy plane with no windows and no pilots flying above our heads. but yeah,
but at least we've got something in space.
Yeah, I guess that's good.
It's gonna be hard to get astronauts up there since we have to depend on Russia and things are going so well between us.
Yes, yeah. Oh man, yeah. I mean, I think the speculation about what it is or does. I mean, it's pretty much a spy plane. I really don't know how it could be anything else, because if it's a testing rig for something, it's been up for, you know, almost a year and a half, and they haven't, like, put anything on it or taken it off. So what can you be testing that that works in that kind of space, I guess?
I like the theory that they put up in the article of that it's like the space vehicle from You Only Live Twice that steals satellites.
It captures the satellites.
And we finally caught up. It took like 50 years. We've caught up to James Bond.
Was that, which one was that? Was that Moonraker?
No, no, it's You Only Live Twice.
Oh.
In
you
Japan.
Just said it. I'm sorry, you're right. No, Moonraker was the, that's the one with Jaws. That's a Roger Moore.
Yeah. No, You Only Live Twice is the one where they put Sean Connery in, like, Japanese makeup to make him look Japanese. It's super racist.
They were just practicing for Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, autonomous flying robot ships, it's essentially a big drone. I'm kind of against it.
Drones in space.
Yeah, I think the sheer number of orbits it's completed is probably it probably gives you some pause about how much it hasn't seen. I mean, it's probably flown over everything at this point, after that many days and that many orbits. So, yeah, I mean, it's probably collecting some manner of data, and who knows what it's doing with it. Hopefully something maybe not awful.
Maybe they're searching for lost children.
Oh, that would be a good use of
it's the 21st century milk carton.
Well, as long as they're not using it for you know, James Bond villainous purposes, it's probably at least, you know, somewhat on the level about what it's doing. Let's hope they tell us what it is relatively soon.
I might actually be kind of okay with that if it was some sort of James Bond villain-esque thing.
Is it, it's capturing, like, you know, foreign satellites and then repurposing them and then re-releasing them?
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool. That would actually make for kind of a neat movie. Maybe not a theater movie, you know.
So straight to Netflix movie.
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever seen the NASA channel when they're doing anything in space, it moves a lot slower than anything you could ever imagine. There are a lot more checks and acknowledgments and prep levels before anything actually happens. So it's kind of, I mean, this isn't NASA, this is the Air Force, so they're, you know, going to be a little more inspired to get it done. So we'll see.
Yeah, like the Stargate program was run by the Air Force.
It's a very good point.
I'm totally okay with this then. If they can run this creepy spy plane drone thing as well as they ran the Stargate program, they got to be using Cheyenne Mountain for something now.
Yeah, I guess, you know. Well, one branch of the service that's making large strides this week that are definitely things. I mean, the Air Force thing it's kind of on the fence, but this stuff out of the Navy is on top. I mean, they're on it. So the story this week came out that in, I think it's 2016, the Navy is going to be testing a ship-mounted railgun. And for those not familiar with where were their railguns in popular culture?
So many different things. All the things.
Really, mostly video games, but
yeah.
Yeah, for those not familiar, a railgun doesn't use kind of explosive combustion like a, you know, like a missile or a rocket or even a handgun. A railgun uses rails that are magnetically charged, and it works by running an electric current down a rail, and it follows the, what is it, the right-hand rule. So if electricity is running in one direction, it produces a magnetic force kind of in a right angle to it. And so they set it up on these rails such that they punch the electrical force through it, and then that translates into a magnetic force, which accelerates the projectile really, really, really fast. And so the upside of this is the projectile just has to be metal. It doesn't have to have any kind of special guidance or engines or anything. It's just this like lump of metal that can be hurtled really fast. And then so that makes the bullets really cheap. And then the force involved is ridiculous. I think it was something like it can throw a ton of metal at Mach 7.
Well, the railgun, according to this, it has 32 megajoules of force, and 1 megajoule moves a 1-ton object at 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. But the crazy thing is the projectiles that they fire, they're $25,000 a pop, which sounds expensive, but one missile is between 500,000 and 1.5 million.
Wow,
So you get a
so
lot more bang for your buck without the bang.
yeah. They're passing the savings on to you. Well, probably not. They're probably taking the money and doing something else with it in the defense budget. But in any case.
I think we actually reported on this railgun, I think maybe in the first year of the podcast when they were starting the land trials. And now we've been on long enough that we've now gotten to the sea trials, or at least the announcement of them beginning.
Well, I think the interesting thing about it is that it sounds like it produces very low recoil because it's just accelerating it magnetically, and then you know the matter or the mass difference between the projectile and the boat is much, much higher. I remember seeing that it would be impractical as a personal weapon or even a squad weapon because the recoil level would be too high. But you know, you plunk one of these things down on a, you know, huge ship in the ocean, yeah, you could kind of see how that would work.
Magnets, bitch.
Railguns should be a thing, especially
Yes.
if they're used to shoot down drones. And we're not saying that there should be any kind of Navy Air Force rivalry over this, but there probably is one anyway. So, you know, if they end up knocking any large flying objects out of the sky, I'm probably gonna be down with
Yeah.
And then one other big thing from the Navy, and it works well with this. With this news about the super efficient weaponry, it's potentially making the huge ships super efficient as well.
Yeah, they're developing the technology to convert seawater into fuel that they could use to power their ships. Because as many, with as many nuclear powered vessels as we have, there's still a lot that run on good old fashioned oil.
Yeah, and that was the thing I thought was interesting. When I first saw the article, I thought it was extracting like hydrogen from water, which I think is part of like most chemistry classes. It's kind of a a thing everyone does. This is extracting hydrogen from the water, but not to make hydrogen fuel, but to combine it with carbon dioxide. Or carbon atoms that are in the air, and then actually make a hydrocarbon-based fuel that works similarly to some kind of gasoline. And That way, they don't have to convert any of the engines or anything like that. You essentially just turn the boat into a fuel generating thing, which is pretty wild. I don't fully understand how that works. There's some science
Science,
involved.
bitch.
Yeah, the Navy's getting all over it, right? They got magnets, they got science. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But the fuel was used to fly kind of a model airplane in kind of a test, which I think is kind of fun.
Yeah, we're still over, at least 10 years away from it actually being a reality, but it's nice to see they're moving in that direction.
Yeah. Maybe by then we'll not need kind of fuel for cars and stuff too, but we'll see. It could probably be used for that too.
Well, with sea level rise, we're going to need a good navy. There's going to be more area to cover.
If we stick on that, it's not, I guess they won't call it fossil fuels anymore. It's just kind of ocean fuel. It's got to be a cool name for that, like how Ford was partnering with people that made fuel out of ethanol, and it's a flex fuel. So what is this crazy fuel going to be called?
Ocean oil? I don't know.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, Navy mostly coming out ahead on this one. I mean, we got two stories. Air Force had one. Again, we're not saying there's a rivalry, but Army, Marines, and Coast Guard, like, step it up. Let's get some stories on here. We'd love to have you on the
Air Force One, Navy Two, America Three.
Well, America is doing pretty well. We're kind of charging ahead with all the stuff we're doing. It's always interesting to kind of reflect back on how that kind of history went. And one thing that a kind of historian looked at, historian and an economist, didn't look at the American history of things, but like any good nerd should, he looked at the Westeros history of things. And so we're moving into Game of Thrones territory. I hope we don't spoil it for anybody, but watch it. It's a thing.
Yeah, spoiler alert, they have not had the Industrial Revolution in Westeros.
Right. How long what is the historical timeline in the books? It's some in the article it read that like the history of Westeros is something like 5,000 years in the books.
Yeah, something like that.
And so in that amount of time, there has not been an industrial revolution. We're still chopping trees down, shooting arrows at each other, riding horses. And so this economist and historian was like, what is going wrong? He went to identify all the problems that are in Westeros that would, make this happen. And I thought it was a fun article. I mean, it's much more fun than those, the physics of Superman or the philosophy of Harry Potter or what other those kinds of things where they take a pop culture thing and then turn it into a book. I mean, most of all because this was just a one article, so it was a lot easier to read. Yay, reading.
Reading about a TV show about a book. Well.
It's a thing. But it was really good. I mean, I think they distilled it nicely. The main kind of reasons were, which I thought was interesting. It was like there's no banking system. There is kind of an exchange of goods and services, but essentially because there's no way to kind of hold funds in any reserve or anything like that, kind of riches are just held, in real time. And so if you don't have riches now, you pretty much don't have riches. And so there's this kind of scarcity problem that stifles innovation. And then the other thing that stifles innovation is that the people that know how to read and keep kind of records and information are pretty much this one very elite class. the Meisters, yes?
Yes. Although to be fair, there is the Iron Bank, but it's not in Westeros. It's, across the sea in Braavos. So.
So maybe they're working towards the Industrial Revolution over there.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't hear a lot of what's going on over there. I did like in the article how he said that the Iron Bank isn't like a real bank, it's more like the IMF, and that they will topple regimes that do not follow their policies.
Wow, that's a great analogy. Well, I think it was very timely for that article to come out as Game of Thrones came back this week. It was pretty well timed. It's coincidentally right after Walking Dead ends last week.
It's
So.
like they planned it so that they wouldn't have as much competition. Amazing. Which apparently they're not doing with Captain America 3. They're going to release it the same day as Batman versus Superman, which is going to be a bloodbath of money.
Yeah, that's gonna be nuts. Although honestly, I'm not sure if Batman Superman's really gonna get my money. I mean, I think it is, but at the same time, I'm r really, really nervous about
I'll wait till I see a trailer.
it.
Or really anything of substance.
I'm not convinced of Zack Snyder's kind of directorial abilities yet. I think 300 was good, but there were a lot of other bad things in between there and what's coming up, so.
Well, he was definitely missed in 300 Rise of an Empire. That whoever the director was of that doing their knockoff impression of him was terrible.
Oh, I didn't see that. So you caught
Oh
it?
yeah. Oh yeah, I did. I caught it. Like the clap.
Oh.
To be accurate, I did not catch the clap. I caught that movie, which was terrible.
Okay.
All I could think while I was watching it was, I wish I was watching Spartacus. Because they both these creations saw 300 and said, let's make a continuation of this.
Yeah.
And Spartacus did such a better job.
Yeah, there was a pretty good run of kind of 300, like also rans, right? Spartacus was there, and I mean, for a show, a TV show that was, God, it was on TV.
It was on Stars.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
So it's like, little version of HBO.
Yeah.
The poor man's HBO.
It was quite good. It was quite good. But then I think about like Immortals, and it was just not as good.
No.
Okay, well, good to know. 300, maybe not.
Yeah, you can skip it.
Okay. But Game of Thrones, don't skip it. It's good. It's really difficult because you pretty much have to watch it like as soon as possible.
Unless you don't use the internet, then you'll be fine. But if you use the internet at all, you just
I
watch
mean,
it.
my Twitter and Facebook were just littered with stuff I didn't need to see right away, so I had to avert my eyes quite a bit. But it was good. It was good. I did hear that HBO Go crashed during the
Again,
yeah. What was the last thing? It was True
the True
Detective.
Detective finale.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal. I mean, it just shows there's demand, right, for not consuming it via a cable TV. Although,
Right.
watching it on a bigger screen than you would with HBO Go is probably that's probably still a thing. I mean, I
Well,
don't
you can
know.
watch HBO Go on your TV.
That's true.
You know, if you have the app for it for your Xbox or PlayStation or what have you.
Yeah, but if you have the app for it, you're in theory paying for the channel, which
In
means that
theory.
you should be
Hey,
watching it on TV from the channel.
the
But yeah.
CEO of HBO said, go ahead and share your keys. So I got me a key.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't knock it. I mean, we used HBO Go to watch the season finale at least, was that 2 seasons ago?
Yeah, that was like season two.
Yeah. That was glorious.
That we MacGyvered that TV.
Oh yeah, we did. We had to go to Walmart to buy a like a cable converter and then Radio Shack to buy the cable and then
I will say, as far as this first episode, I really like the casting of Prince Oberyn. I think he's going to be good, and I really like that character. But the guy that they replaced Dario Naharis with
Yeah.
sucked. He was so wrong.
It's just like generic guy.
Yeah.
I don't really see
Instead of being
what they
like
were
this
going with.
exotic badass, he's some British dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get the chemistry they're playing off of, or rather not playing off of with that. I mean,
Yeah, he was bad. I do.
I
And unfortunately, his character is, you know, pretty involved in things from here on out, and it's just,
So
I
was
hope
it
he
just
improves.
the other guy wanted more money or
I don't know what happened, but clearly someone fucked up.
Yeah. I think that's always odd when they do that. I mean, especially in a show with this high of a production value, I feel like replacing characters to for any reason is almost always unjustified.
Well, I think since it's filmed in so many different places and all over Europe, like they've recast the mountain, I think, like 3 times now. Or maybe it might just be twice. It's at least twice.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Oh
But that last scene, I'm not gonna spoil it
well.
because we didn't, you know, that was great.
Was
Chicken,
really good.
man. Chickens.
Oh, I wanted to link that article I found on Reddit. I mean, I think that you sh Reddit is maybe the worst place you can go if you're following a TV show. It's simultaneously the best and the worst place you can go because if you all you have to do is be in the thread and you will see spoilers. So it's kind of annoying. But one of the threads that was linked was it was an episode recap for people that haven't read the books. And so it's trying to add back a little of the richness between the episodes and just kind of go over stuff that you would have missed if you didn't read the books, which I didn't. So I kind of appreciated it, but at the same time, the nagging thing is, why don't you read the books, Alan?
I told you to read the books before the show even
You
started.
did. You absolutely did. I remember the conversation. This was a pre Not a Thing podcast, so it
Yeah.
was not recorded for posterity, but yeah, that'd be a good use of a time machine, I think. Should probably
I
do
think we could come up with something better than that. I
that.
would hope that we could come up with something better than that. Just get the they every lots of people listen to it on the book on tape. I know you like books on tape.
Oh, I wonder how those sound. I mean, that would probably be about right. Although it'd probably be like a million hours.
Oh yeah, it's gonna probably till you're like 50. It's gonna take you to finish those.
Which point I probably should have just read the books.
Yeah. Are you a faster reader than you are a hearer?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Not a
Definitely.
listener, a hearer.
Well, for example, I think the World War Z audiobook, which I listened to, I think the last work trip in January, I listened to it on the plane ride back and forth, and it was not done. And that was 10 hours in the air, and I still needed like an hour and a half to finish it. And I think I read that book in like 3 hours. It may not have been as fast as that, but I just remember, because when I read World War Z, I was at a work gig, and I was there. I was budgeted for 2 days, and I finished everything I need to finish in 2 hours. So I kind of took a long lunch on the first day, and apparently I had just missed Max Brooks doing a book signing at the Barnes and Noble that was down the street from the office. And so I picked up one of the books he had signed, and they were all raving about it. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll check it out. And I'll admit it, I sat in my cube being paid, 2000, let's see, $2,003 for
That's a year, not the actual amount.
2000 good point. Good point. The 2003, like my contracting rate in 2003, kind of at the edge of the bubble before it burst, to read World War Z. Yeah,
Well, you know,
it was
there's
good
an app
times.
you can get that will tell you how much you've been paid while pooping, where you can log, put in your hours, your hourly wage, and then how long, if you measure how long you're in the bathroom, you will extrapolate what the actual amount. I don't have it, but I do know coworkers who do.
Well, I guess you can improve your rate of return by taking like shorter poops.
No, you take longer ones, then you're getting paid more.
That how that works? Oh, I
Yeah,
guess
you're
it
getting
would
paid,
be.
you're on the clock.
Right, you're on the clock. Oh, I see. I see. Okay. Well, if you have the if you have the new Faster Than Light app on your iPad, which just came out last week also, all I can say is it's very easy to eat up a large amount of time kind of sitting down. So you could kind of, mesh those two and make everything work. Over the weekend, I did beat Faster Than Light on the iPad on my, I think, fourth playthrough. The only reason I made it was because the random number generator didn't give the flagship teleporters in the last phase. Oh, wow. We just got way inside baseball. Anyway, Faster Than Light, it's a great game. World War Z, it's a great book. Game of Thrones, apparently we should read. Reading's a thing. Mostly wraps it up. Oh, wait. I mean, I did watch Silicon Valley, which is
Yes.
Mike Judge's return to TV. I think he has actually done stuff for TV, but maybe they were specials. There was nothing that was a comedy series. So Mike Judge, for those not 100% familiar, is the guy behind Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. And then in terms of movies, he did Idiocracy and sure a bunch of other stuff, but that's what's coming to
Office
mind right now.
Space.
Yes, Office Space. Could I forget? But yeah, he's back on TV. He has a series right after Game of Thrones about kind of a nerd house, essentially, which is I. You know, are an actual real thing. It's like people kind of get together and will rent a house out in order to afford the rents in the Bay Area, and then they're all kind of programmers or engineers or otherwise people at startups, and it's kind of profiling the Silicon Valley startup culture, but with a very, heavy comedic bent. It's not at all meant to be kind of documentary. At the same time, a lot of the kind of stuff that they're peppering into the show is kind of rooted in kind of Silicon Valley geek culture, which I think is kind of accurate in very weird ways. There's some things that were good. There's some things that were bad about the show. I think in the good category, they did a lot of good poking fun at just how exorbitant and ridiculous a lot of kind of quick to fund startups are. Like they had the meeting bike and the kind of weird house party that they have Kid Rock at. And then the speech by the CEO at that party, he's like, "We're trying to change the world with synergistic language patterns and big data." Just, you know, I think, and I'm probably too close to Silicon Valley in that I live there, but I thought that was kind of dead on.
Yeah, I think it got a lot of things right, but as far as comedy, it wasn't that funny.
Yeah,
it didn't really grab me.
No, I thought the jokes were not, I don't know, I almost said the word timeless, but it's not that it's timeless, it's just that it's more like genreless. Like they could have just been jokes. You didn't need to have whatever the setting was, which I think means that it is funny and it's a little more universally funny. It doesn't necessarily have to be a specific kind of funny for the setting. At the same time, I actually do appreciate that they didn't go the Big Bang Theory route, which I think I've talked about on the show. I kind of don't like it. I don't like that. It's not a thing. I mean, they're clearly laughing at, not laughing with. In this, I think you want to laugh with, but there's not enough to laugh at.
Yeah, there's just not a lot of laughing.
Yeah,
which is what you want. I mean, if you're going to watch a half-hour comedy on HBO at this point, watch Veep.
Yeah, it's which amazing. Is right after that, right?
Yeah, watch that instead. If you've got HBO, that show is hilarious. It's horrible people saying horrible things.
Kate.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much the rundown this week. We're saving a couple stories for hopefully next week. Captain America did come out last week. We did hear about that.
Half of us saw it.
And the Raid 2 sort of came out last week. I guess it was kind of a limited release, but we were big fans of the first one. The second one is just more. It's got a lot more of pretty much everything than the first one. So we won't spoil the spoilers that we would normally put in this section, but we'll talk about those eventually.
I guess until next time, Alan.
Yep, sounds good. See you later, Brendan.